Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Oh, this young man is a sensation! Dele Alli, out of League One, into the Premier League! Oh, what a goal! It's Danny Rose on his Premier League debut!
Sheringham Fleck and Klinsmann is in!
He's got it lost under his feet and it's come from the middle!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's most dangerous Tottenham Hotspur podcast. It's Wheeler Dealer Radio. I'm your host, Greg, and I'm joined by two out of our regular three panelists this week. It's Ben Daniels and Reno Wallabout. We're here to talk about, this is weird coming out of my mouth, the start of the Jose Mourinho era at Tottenham Hotspur. Last week we talked about how this was probably going to feel. Well, it ain't probably anymore. It's actually happened, not once, but twice. And I don't know if it's gotten any less weird. Ben, I'll start with you because you were here last week for that conversation. And how was it in actuality as opposed to theory?
I mean, even like leaving the games aside, it has been like a masterclass of seduction and gaslighting by Jose Mourinho so far. I mean, every press conference, every interview, he says all the right things, you know. He makes it sound like he's turned over this new leaf and he is so positive and happy and cheery to be here and like just like kind and like gracious to like the people asking him questions. And like you see him in training videos and he's like, you know, bantering with the players and petting them like cats. And it's like, you know, we all know who this guy is. We've seen it a million times, and we've seen what a fucking asshole he is. We've seen his teams melt down and end in tears. And even knowing all of that information, you can't help but, like, watch this and be, like, completely charmed by it and be like, oh, man, this guy, yeah, he knows what he's all about. He's going to get us going. And then, you know, the games happened, and they went fairly different ways, but they both ended with us winning, and feeling good and seeing exciting football at Spurs again. And I just, it's surreal. I just don't even know what to do with it.
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that took me the most off guard was, you're right, like the way he's, like you said, his, like, we're getting the full-on seductive Mourinho. And you could sort of, I guess we knew, I mean, it's not like we thought Mourinho was stupid. Like, we knew he was a canny operator. But, like, seeing it up close and, like, I don't know. I was, like, unprepared for how well he played the game, and I think he is on his best behavior right now. Like, the stuff that took me really off guard was, like, how gracious he was to Pochettino. Because wasn't he at some club, like, at Chelsea, or his second stint at Chelsea, or when he was at United, he was having, like, a bunch of pictures of the old manager, like, taken down in the training areas. I mean, I feel like we've heard about all this petty shit. I know it's like it behooves him to be on his best behavior. I'm still just, I wasn't prepared for it. And you see something, like, we'll get to this game in a few minutes, but, like, during the game against Olympiacos today, this whole shit he pulled with the ball boy, it's like, you know, I know what he's doing. It's still really charming, and it's kind of unsettling. You know, I think I'm going to be on team, actually, this is funny to me, until it all goes haywire, but you can't help but respect the hustle. Rob, I mean, do you respect the hustle? I think you have to.
Look, I don't care how many times he offers to take me to the zoo, all right? He's not my real dad. I'm on team. He's not my real dad.
How do you think Maurizio feels about all this?
Oh, yeah, give a shit.
He's not going to be here in a few months anyway.
Yeah, but no. You can't have watched the Premier League for the last, I don't know, 15 years and not be like, you know, if you were a fan of a team that played against Mourinho, you fucking hated him and all of his bullshit and all of his mind games and all of the nonsense in the press and all of his pretending to be Mr. Sweet Guy, and you know what he really is, and now he's doing it to our fans on our team. And like I know, and everyone is just ready to be seduced.
But it's weird being on the other side of it, right? It is strange. I feel like I knew all this stuff, and yet I am still like struck by how odd it all is.
Like, one of the things I remember, like, Jose has always been like really famous for is creating this sort of siege mentality around the club where it's like them against the world. And, you know, when he's at a team like Chelsea or Real Madrid, it's like watching it from the outside, it can't help but feel ridiculous because it's like, dude, you're like the biggest player in the league. You're clearly not disadvantaged in any remote way. Like, no one is, yeah, like people don't like you, but like, you know, you have every possible advantage at your fingertips. Like, how are you guys buying into this concept that he's generated? And now we're experiencing it. It's not the same kind of siege mentality, but it's this similar, like, being very on side with the club in a way that makes you believe that, like, he is your only bulwark against disaster. And, you know, it's so cynical and yet still charming and still working. I have such a hard time with it. There's such like a weird cognitive dissonance in my brain where one part of me is, you know, yelling, you know, don't believe his lies. And then the other side is like, this man will die for me. And like, I know that's not true, but like, you kind of feel it.
Well, it's like, you see the videos of him like introducing himself to the kitchen staff. That's the one that sticks out to me. And you know what he's doing. You know, he's not going, I mean, I'm maybe on a personal level, he is like, does want to like create that atmosphere and does respect these people. I don't know. But you know what he is actually doing there, which is he's trying to get people like us to feel warm and fuzzy about him and get people, also, you know, get everyone at the club feeling warm and fuzzy about him. But it's still just like, we know who this is. It's like Rob said, it's Jose fucking Mourinho. We know what an asshole this dude is. And yet, you just, you know, there's part of your brain, like you said, Ben, that you want to believe it or that it leans towards believing it, and you have to sort of stop yourself. Like, what am I fucking, like, you just find yourself walking towards the cliff, and you're like, wait a minute, what am I doing here?
I mean, honestly, like, you know, why stop yourself? You know, it's like, you know the ride is going to end sometime, but while you're on the roller coaster, the best thing you can do is throw your hands up and scream like a maniac and just enjoy it, because, well, I mean, what else? You can't be miserable for 3 years and then go, I told you so. Like, between now and then.
Well, hang on. You're saying that?
Yes. I am saying that. I had a great time under the Pochettino era, and I'm fully prepared to have a great time under the Jose Mourinho era, even knowing all that I know about him. And, you know, I still don't think he was the best hire we could have made. I still don't know. I still don't think firing Pochettino was the right choice, but, like, you know, I'm accepting the reality that we're living in, and that is Jose Mourinho is getting paid an awful lot to be here for an awful long time. So I can either hate the experience or just, you know, throw my hands up and scream.
Hey, if you're falling off a building, you might as well enjoy the view on the way down, because one way or another, it's going to end. There's not a whole lot you can do about it.
Right. Just flap your arms, pretend like you're flying.
It's just, you know, for me, I talked about this with some friends of mine over the weekend. Seeing him in the technical area isn't as strange as all the videos of him at training and shit. Like, because, like, I've seen Jose Mourinho at a Tottenham stadium in the technical era before. But, like, seeing him, like, wearing a Spurs gilet or like, running around with the team during warm-ups, that's where it's just like, what the fuck is going on? Like, it's just,
yeah, he does not look right in a purple training top. Like, that just looks so jarring.
Well, the Spurs cockerel on him, it's just like, fuck. Like, I mean, I understand we're not the team that would have the hardest time with this. I think there was probably a lot of cognitive dissonance for United fans, because they went to war a lot back in the day. I think Arsenal fans would be, you know, the most apoplectic Spurs fan would be sort of the baseline for all Arsenal fans if he went there, given what happened with them back in the day. But it's just, it's fucking weird. It's just, God, I don't know if I'll ever get used to it.
I don't know what I'm supposed to feel. Greg, help me.
I think you're, what is your gut reaction? When you see Jose Mourinho hugging Harry Kane as he comes off the pitch, like, what is your, what is the emotion that fills up inside of you, Rob?
I think, you know, I think it's summed up best. I tweeted something during the West Ham game along the lines of, I hope that everybody can enjoy this except somehow not Jose Mourinho. I hope that somehow he can make us very successful and yet he can be completely miserable. That's the needle we need to thread here.
I'll tell you where it's. I think it's going to get strange, and I think it's going to get a little harder for some Spurs fans. Is like right now, it's just weird. It's just all around weird. Sooner or later, this is going to normalize to some extent. And I think where it could get weird, you know, obviously if it goes south or when it goes south, that's going to be very easy for Spurs fans to handle. We'll just default to our normal feelings about Jose Mourinho. Where I think it's going to get difficult is if he ever gets us playing at a high level consistently, which, you know, he hasn't done yet. And like, fuck, we're two games in less than a week in, or about a week in. Like, I don't think anyone expects him to have this team turned around. Even the most, you know, aggravated Spurs fan doesn't expect that. But if we play well against the Liverpool or like a big team in the Champions League, or, you know, like that's where it's going to be. Like, I think it's really going to be, the conflicted feelings are really going to hit. For me, at least. I don't know about you guys, but if he gets us playing at a high level, I think that's where I'm going to feel the most conflict.
See, I feel like I will lose my conflictedness because I'll just be happy that we're good.
Like, I'll probably get over it.
To be like, you know, right now it's easy to be like, well, you know, we did throw away two goals at the end against West Ham. We did, you know, start really poorly against Olympiacos. Like, you know, even though he's saying the right things, it's like he's still the Jose Mourinho who was very unsuccessful at Man U and, you know, kind of collapsed his way out of the last... Like, you still see that, and, like, with the performances, and like, it's not all there yet. But, like, once we start playing well, I don't know. I feel like I'm going to have a very hard time holding on to, you know, years and years of hatred and grudges.
But I guess there's two things loaded into that. There's your years and years of hatred and grudges... And I don't know about you, but speaking at least for myself, there is, like, the skepticism in that he had a shitty end at his time at Chelsea. It was basically always shitty at Manchester United. I mean, there's, like, the skepticism of, is this guy past it, is going to be the other factor in this. Which, like, it's too early to tell at Spurs. Like, he's clearly, I think, reverting back to some Pochettino older tactics and smoothing things out a little bit. But, like... it's hard for me to get past the idea that, like, football has passed Jose Mourinho by to some extent.
I will say, like, the one thing that is, you know, again, I don't know that I believe it. Don't believe his lies. But at the same time, it's like he is approaching this job with a level of, like, humility and graciousness that I don't think we've seen before. Like, at Man United, he walked into that job like, he was owed it. You know, he knew he was the other potential heir to Alex Ferguson besides David Moyes. And after Moyes and then Van Gaal failed so spectacularly before him, he really marched into that job, you know, with a chip on his shoulder. Like, finally, I am home where, you know, at my God-given right to manage this football club.
Not even that. And it felt to me like, fuck you, what took all of you so long?
Right, exactly. And... you know, similar attitude at Real Madrid. He always felt like he belonged at a club like that. When he came back to Chelsea again, it was like a lot of baggage of the years, you know, in the wilderness before him, or at least as he saw it. And it was like a homecoming that he deserved. And, you know, I think we all felt that, like, he didn't necessarily deserve the Spurs job or deserve any top-level club job at this stage in his career, given how badly things had unraveled elsewhere. And I wasn't prepared for him to shed that attitude of entitlement and swagger of, you know, the old Jose Mourinho we've seen all along. You know, he has come into this very respectfully and, you know, again, at least in the words he says and his actions so far, have seemed very humble. And I'm sure it's a calculated act, given the circumstances, but it's like I can't be helped but impressed by exactly the right calculations he's made at every step of the way. Again, it's been a week, but so far, you know.
But it hasn't been a week. I would argue it hasn't been a week. I think you've seen this whole act. I think if you look at all his media appearances going back to, what, late last season, like, I think he's been doing this for a while, acting this way. And like you said, I am sure it is a calculated gambit, and I think it has a lot to do with this guy only has so many more chances at a big, big-ish club. We talked about that last week, where if he fucks up at Spurs, like that guy's going to a national team or back to Portugal, or like just taking a payday and like with PSG, maybe if that, like he'd be lucky. I mean, he doesn't have too many chances at a big club if this doesn't go well for him. And I think he's been, I mean, this act has been a ongoing thing. And maybe, like, with all the rumors about Pochettino, he knew Spurs were a big target for him. But, you know, this contrition is, yeah, it's impressive, if not genuine. I mean, I don't know. It's probably not genuine, but it's certainly a calculated act. And on some level, you have to, like I said, respect the hustle.
At a certain level, and this is me saying this, whether it's calculated or not, if he actually keeps it up and it actually works, then who cares why he's doing it? Like, whether it's just totally cynical or he actually has turned over a new leaf and has a new philosophy and his moment of zen or something while he was a pundit. Like, if it works, great. The upside for Tottenham is, like, he's one of the most successful managers ever. So if he's actually committed to this, then we stand to benefit from it. And if not, it'll all go down in flames, just like every other Jose Mourinho job has done. So, and like you said, we'll be back to just being angry Tottenham fans. Oh, well. It's not our money.
What's changed there?
Right. It's just Daniel Levy blowing all this money that he could have spent on a right back. But, like, this is a dude who's won basically every trophy that is available to win. So maybe that's a thing he could do. Like, he has some magic that he can impart to suddenly make Tottenham be good in a big game.
So
like
his
hilarious comment about his reaction to losing a Champions League final and how it affected the players, and he said, I have no idea. I've never lost one.
I mean, his stuff about, like, that was one of the, that's where, the, like, the classic Mourinho came poking through. Like, he can't help himself. He's like, making a Champions League final is a great achievement. It's not history. And it's like, oh, there's the Jose. There's the Jose I know and hate.
Yeah, but also, like, his resume speaks for itself. And, like, from the quotes from Tottenham players, like, they clearly buy into that part.
I mean, there's rumors. I mean, I think it's through The Athletic that, you know, Kane gave the sign off to firing Pochettino, or at least they sounded him out, and it wasn't a total disaster, clearly. So, I mean, I think the players seem to be up for it. I mean, let's talk about this. Let's get into it. Let's start with the West Ham game. I mean, Rob, did you see anything different in that West Ham? What was different? Jose Mourinho only had a few days to work with the squad. Obviously, he's not going to reinvent the wheel in that amount of time. What did you see different in that game from the Pochettino era, other than the players didn't fucking hate their manager and want to get him fired?
Yeah, they actually ran around a bit.
They did. I mean, I think that's not a joke. They did look a little more motivated.
There was the, like, actually trying part, which was actually kind of obvious. So they, you know, they weren't real slick about that. I'd say there were three things. The first one has been talked about ad nauseum, which is Dele Alli. I don't know that he played that much better than he has played before, but clearly he is going to be the fulcrum of the attack. Jose is, in his public comments, in just the way he set up the team, is positioning Alli to be his number 10, and he's going to be heavily involved in the attack, and he was, and it worked out really well. The second thing, he's going to play Lucas, and he's going to play Lucas as a winger, not as some, like, weird undersized striker, which, thank fucking God, I don't know what that was about with Pochettino. Like, the things that Lucas is good at and the things that he's not good at, like, why you think he's a striker, but okay, he's going to play as a winger. If he's a Mourinho winger, he's going to have to do a lot of defensive work, which he's not that great at, but whatever. He's really good at dribbling. He can score goals. And then the third thing is just, like, we're going to be kind of a counterattacking team. They're going to sit a little bit deeper. There's not going to be as much high pressing. The back line's not going to get that high. So they're going to have a lot more time and room to recover from when they do stupid shit. And not always playing out of the back, which, you know, has its benefits and drawbacks. But, like, when you're playing really shitty and have no confidence, playing out of the back when you're getting pressed is a really bad fucking idea. And hopefully we'll cut out some of the stupid goals that they've been constantly giving up.
Yeah, eventually. Not this week, but...
No.
Well, if you're going to go through the goals, at least they gave it up at the right time against West Ham.
Right. I mean, this was a game that we kind of rushed out to a 3-0 lead in the first half. You know, like Rob said, Dele was at the heart of a lot of the good stuff. He set up Son for the first goal. He had this amazing, swaggerific laying down on the touchline back heel to set Sonny free to assist the second goal. You know, he looked like a man liberated. You know, if not the best Dele we've ever seen, he definitely looked like a guy who was having fun out there and, you know, kind of dusted off some old tricks. And
do you think he was more motivated or used differently? Or do you think it was, I mean, like, something that occurred to me during the game is, like, do you think he just crossed, like, a fitness threshold? Like, you know, he just healed just a little bit that he needed over the international break. Like, I was just wondering that because he's been fighting injuries all year.
You know, I mean, like, look, you can say the same thing about Harry Kane, who's also been injury-plagued and has looked a lot better the last two games. I think he covered the most distance on the pitch against West Ham, which is surprising. You know, this is not a guy we've seen looking very mobile this season. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a fitness component, but, you know, it's not... Fitness isn't necessarily a switch like that that goes from they look like ass to suddenly they look good again. And, I mean, to Dele, like, since he's come back on the team, even under Pochettino, he has been scoring and assisting very regularly. So, you know, we've already seen him start to do good things, but it does seem like he has gone up a level. And, you know, you've seen him and Pochettino palling around, or Jesus, him and Mourinho palling around. You know, we've heard Jose's comments about Dele's brother and when will the real Dele come back? So, yeah, I mean, I think we're definitely set to see a very revitalized Dele, and that's very exciting because on his best, he is one of the most talented players, you know, we've ever seen at Spurs.
What did you think about Kane's performance? Because I know I was watching the game with Kaylee, and there was a point at which Kane broke loose, got behind the defenders, and I just knew looking at it, I was being my typical negative self, but I said out loud to him, like, Kane's not going to get a shot off here. And, like, 2 years ago, I would have been a fucking moron for saying that. Sure enough, the defender caught up and got the ball before Kane was able to pull a shot off. Like, he's scored some opportune goals in the last two games. It still feels like he's a bit off the pace to me.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't seem to have, like, the legs in the open field. You know, he's never been a fast player, but, like, losing that slight step, you know, is big when you're not a fast player. That's... You know,
he's got that burst, yeah,
a little bit of burst. And if you don't have that, you know, it's hard to compensate for it. And, you know, we've seen his goals that he's taken have been very opportunistic, headers in the box, you know, shots from close areas, not a lot of running and holding off defenders, not a lot of, you know, swiveling and pivoting, not a lot of that kind of quick reaction-y stuff. That we knew Harry Kane for. So, yeah, he's not, I think, back, but, you know, as long as the team around him is functioning and can get him the ball in the box, he still knows how to score, and he still knows how to, you know, ghost off defenders and find space and stuff like that. The stuff that doesn't require, you know, a real burst of pace or, you know, even like a one-step quickness. And we're seeing a lot of that. And, you know, not to get ahead of ourselves, but he had, like, I think 4 shots today from very good areas, you know, scored a goal. you know, for me, the jury is still out on whether we'll see the amazing Kane that we saw a few years ago. But, you know, it's hard to argue with the fact that he is producing. He set a record today for the fastest, fewest number of games to hit 20 Champions League goals. He broke Del Piero's record of 26 games, and he did it in 24. You know, there's still a lot of positives about Harry Kane, even in whatever diminished form he might be in. But, you know, I hope he's happy. Just to keep talking, I'm sorry, I'm just rambling here. The other thing that Rob didn't mention was the reintroduction of Eric Dier as a key component of this Jose Mourinho team for good and ill. Anybody have feelings about Eric Dier's performance?
I thought he was fine against West Ham. I thought it was, I don't know how much, for me it was a little hard to tell how much he settled down. I mean, because clearly West Ham was not getting a lot of joy in midfield or punching through us, even when they scored their goals late in the game. And I don't know how much of that was Dier and how much of that was how he deployed Winks, where it seemed like he wasn't asking. I mean, I think one has a lot to do with the other. I thought it worked well against West Ham. And, I mean, you know, and then I would say, and then what happened? Dier wasn't particularly awful today, but it wasn't working against Olympiacos. And, you know, he got yanked quick. I just think, I mean, you know, Dier, it's very clear whatever's wrong with Dier is down to these, like, illnesses or injuries that he's had. And it just seems to me like he's not back up to snuff yet. Like, his fitness isn't quite there. He's not able to cover ground or move as fast as he used to. And, you know, I don't know if that's ever going to get better. It seems like, at least under Mourinho, we found a way for him to be useful, which is encouraging. That's genuinely encouraging. But, you know, he still doesn't look like what he used to be to me.
We should also say that West Ham are fucking terrible.
Well, we've lost other fucking terrible teams this year, so like,
yeah, but they don't have a midfield.
Yeah, well, so
they have Mark Noble.
We have also lost to like some pretty fucking awful teams this year, so like, you know, like Watford's not a whole lot better, and like, you know,
but they have like a midfield.
But my point is,
fit Eric Dier.
I'm not going to turn my nose up at any decent performance.
He was fine.
I'm not going to turn my nose up at any decent performance by this team right now.
No, the one thing that Eric Dier offers that the other midfield choices don't is that he actually can read the game defensively, even if like his body doesn't always cooperate with the ideas that he has about where to be. so as in a Mourinho team, he expects someone to be providing some sort of screen for the back four, like, yeah, if he can get anywhere close to fitness, he should be okay. His passing was fucking awful against West Ham. Thankfully, they were not able to take advantage of it. But, like, it's better than Sissoko in that role.
The other thing is, though, we've seen Ndombele and Lo Celso not get any time yet. Ndombele was hurt coming off international break, and, you know, he got a few minutes at the end today. But, you know, we have two midfielders who are both very good two-way midfielders who have good defensive ability and good progressive passing and dribbling and, you know, creativity and all that in their locker. And we're not seeing them at all. So we can roll out the, you know, reheated corpse of Eric Dier and
the traitor, the coward, known as Christian Eriksen.
Right, yeah, even Christian Eriksen. So are we concerned at all that these guys aren't getting time yet, or is this just something that we think will come?
I don't know. It's. Am I concerned? Yes. Like, Ndombele less so. I think Ndombele is probably just down to injuries. I think Mourinho is clearly throwing, like, the most functional team he can assemble out of there, and a lot of that has to do with who was used this year, I think. You know, I don't think Mourinho is going to, especially now where he needs to stop the bleeding, I don't think he's interested in reinventing the wheel immediately. It's been a week. I think it'd be like, it's a little too early to be completely panicked that Lo Celso is not getting minutes. But I think, you know, like, it worries me a little bit. And I get that Eriksen has, like, experience and in theory he could help today. But, like, ooh, a guy who could hang in the back of midfield, pass the ball around, and help us get control of the game. Like, that sounds a lot like Lo Celso to me. You could also play up top, don't get me wrong, but, like, I'd feel a lot better if we were using Lo Celso. Now, you know, if we're recording this in 2 weeks and we haven't used Lo Celso, at least in a major sub role, then I'm going to get concerned. Right now, it's probably a little harsh to be too up Mourinho's ass about not using anybody, just because, you know, he had two games in his first week, and he had a lot of, like, mood problems to fix. So I don't blame him for being as functional as possible immediately. But Lo Celso couldn't hurt.
How do you feel about, you know, this game we put out the exact same lineup except for Danny Rose came in for an injured Ben Davis. You know, whereas with Pochettino we would have seen a lot more rotation, and I think most of us would have expected or hoped for, you know, some of these other guys getting minutes, you know, resting a few of our key players, like, and he didn't. He just threw the same team right out there.
I mean, on some level,
it didn't go so well.
Yeah, on some level, I'm concerned. I don't feel like this has been Ben, you've watched more Mourinho over the years than I have. I mean, it doesn't feel like it's a huge problem with Mourinho, like, just never rotating.
He
will absolutely run a squad into the ground.
He will, but, like,
he has priors on that.
I mean, again, I feel like a lot of this has to do with he hasn't had a lot of time with the team, especially, like, on a Saturday to Tuesday, and he's running what he thinks is going to work out there. And I'll tell you what I was encouraged by, the fact that it wasn't working. We made a change, like, before the 30th minute, like a tactical change, like, because I don't think Dyer was crocked, but he just saw that it wasn't working, and he did something about it. And whatever else I want to say about Mourinho, however else this goes, that's an improvement over how Pochettino managed games.
Yeah, so that's a real Jose Mourinho special, that early sub that, you know, Pochettino won't sub anybody before, like, the 70th minute if he can help it. And even if he can't, he'll still somehow persist in playing a injured, one-legged, concussed guy for as long as possible before he does anything about it. And, you know, today we saw the team go down 2-0. We weren't playing well. We gave up some cheap goals. And 30 minutes in, he yanked Eric Dyer and brought on the much maligned Christian Eriksen, who very much turned the game around.
This is his first good performance since Villa, right?
Well, he was pretty good against Arsenal. He scored the goal in that game, or one of the goals, I don't remember.
It's been a minute since he's been anything resembling productive in the game.
Right. And in this match, he linked defense to attack beautifully. He was switching play. He was launching counters. He was, you know, passing quickly vertically through midfield to get the ball to the attack. Like, doing all the things that you want a midfield to do in a kind of counterattacking setup, and even in a possession-oriented setup. Like, when we had the ball, he was calm in possession. He wasn't getting pressed out of the game like we had been to begin with. I thought he was very good today. If there's life in Christian Eriksen, you know, I know we've all kind of learned to hate him over the course of this season, but that's a huge thing for Spurs. I mean, you know, again, another guy who at his best is one of the best players we have ever seen at this club. And if he's going to care to play again, that's phenomenal.
Nah, fuck him. I'm so fucking done with Eriksen. I mean, you're actually right, but, like, if Mourinho wants to bury him in a hole, I'm not going to have a problem with it. Like,
guy off the bench, not buried in a hole.
Well, I'll tell you what annoys me is, like, and I understand that, like, look, Eriksen's a veteran. He's, you know, he's got experience. I am certain he is much more savvy, particularly about play in Europe, play in England, than a guy like Lo Celso. He's got experience, and that might be what Mourinho wants right now. But Lo Celso is a great fucking player, and we paid a lot of money for him. And honestly, I'd rather be given minutes to a guy who, you know, is going to be contributing to this team after this season than Christian Eriksen.
The thing about Lo Celso is we've paid $0 for him.
No. We paid 19.
Not buy him.
We paid 19, and we're going to pay the rest next year. So,
do we have to buy him? Can Jose say, never mind?
No, I'm pretty sure there's no way we're getting out of that one. Nor would we want to. Just, like, look, some of this is our own biases and what we talk ourselves into and how we feel about it. And I am shocked at the level of venom I have for Christian Eriksen. But there's just a part of me that thinks, like, why not have Lo Celso do that? I mean, obviously, I would rather have Lo Celso play in, like, as an attacking midfielder. But, like,
fuck. Like, I'm so tired of Christian Eriksen. And, like, at least he was good today, because that dude was anonymous against fucking West Ham. He was completely anonymous. Like, just honestly, and I think he was a big reason we kind of, like, I don't think we really slipped control of that game, but I think he's a big reason that, like, we just stopped. We took our foot off of West Ham's neck. Like, I just don't think he was effective at all in that game.
No, but, I mean, he was really effective today. And, like, you know, we have other guys like Toby, who hasn't signed a contract and now is saying, oh, you know, maybe I'm going to stick around. And I don't see him getting nearly the vitriol that Christian Eriksen did, even though he did the exact same thing. He ran down his contract. He's been trying to leave for years.
Yes, but he's also played like a professional for a lot of that time. So,
I mean, has
and
he?
We don't have anybody better.
He was really good for lots of last year. He's been doing this shit for like 2 years.
So is Eriksen.
Eriksen wasn't doing this shit last year, is my point. Like, Eriksen's been like fucking dog shit ever since he was like, oh, I don't want to be here anymore. Like, that's my fucking problem with Eriksen.
Was our defense really good earlier this season and I forgot about it?
Like, we've been dealing with this for like five fucking years with Toby, it feels like. And he's at least been a pro. I mean,
it's ridiculous. He's been, you know, trying to leave for years. He hasn't been good this season. You know, our defense has been terrible. And nobody is like knives out for Toby. And I think
because his desire to not be at Spurs did not heavily contribute to a decline in form that led us to firing our soccer dad.
I would say it did. I mean, him and Vertonghen both, like our best center backs quit basically. And we were playing Davinson Sanchez and Eric Dier for like the last two games of the Pochettino era. Like that's what happened, you know? And like, I'm not mad about it. Like, I'm fine to, like, welcome Toby back. I'm fine to welcome Eriksen back, you know? Like, Danny Rose has been dog shit. People are way less down about Danny Rose. Serge Aurier has always been dog shit, and today he looked like the best right back I've ever seen, and people are all like, yeah, Aurier is the best right back in the world, whatever. Like, it's just surprising to me, like, where this sort of fickle ire goes and who gets a pass, who gets forgiven, and who doesn't.
I think it's because Eriksen's decline in form coincided with what happened this year, and other guys' decline in form happened when, like, the team was able to sort of play through it. And obviously, like, our defense hasn't been great this year, but, like, this has been, like, status quo for Toby. For Tongan's bullshit, it might be bullshit, but it's at least kind of wrapped up in injuries. Whereas, like, Eriksen is, like, not just wanting to leave, but sulking on the pitch, not playing well, and it's, like, directly tied to, like, a just shocking run of form that ended up getting our, like, beloved manager fired. And rightly or wrongly, I think that's why, that's probably why I feel so harshly about him. I would imagine that this is a sentiment shared by a lot of Spurs fans for these reasons, whether it's rational or not.
I mean, look, if Eriksen decides he wants to play and is going to be good again, like, welcome back, Chris. The Pochettino era is done. It ended badly. It was sad. But, like, Christian Eriksen is not the only guy who quit on that manager. And to put the blame at his feet.
Oh, it seems like the whole fucking team quit on that manager.
Right. You know, and nobody's going to be mad about Harry Kane.
Now, give that one a year or two. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, nobody's mad at Lucas or Sonny or whatever. You know, like, I mean, a lot of guys have not looked good for a long time. And, you know, if we turn the corner under Jose and, like, look good again, you know, everybody's going to get forgiven. But I think Christian Eriksen is going to have a really hard time with it, no matter how good he may be for us.
So let me ask you this. Rob, you've been drowned out by us for a few minutes, so let's get you back. About how concerning was the first half of today's game to you?
It was pretty fucking terrible.
Not how good was it? Is this the kind of thing where it was like, you know what, you got it wrong, you fixed it, let's fucking move on? Or is this something that you look at and, I mean, I know everything causes you to panic, but you know what I mean. Like, is this...
Everything causes me to panic. No, well, first I just wanted to say, like, a lot of people were pretty mad about the lineup today against Olympiacos, but the charitable interpretation is that these guys just played 180 minutes, so it's set up now to play a league game at the weekend and like rotate in some good players instead. So like maybe Lo Celso and Ndombele are actually going to play this weekend, and they'll be part of the Premier League rotation now, which would be nice. because there were a couple of guys today who didn't look so good on the second of the back-to-backs. One thing I would say also, because Ben Davis managed to blow out his ankle trying to tackle Mr. Antonio, which is a really terrible idea, we're going to be seeing a lot more Danny Rose. And Danny Rose, clearly not inspired by the Jose Mourinho era. Because he was awful again today. And he was the one who drew the short straw and had to play the conservative fullback role, which it didn't seem to help him all that much. But back to your question about the performance, it was so bad that it was one of those games where I didn't even see the first goal because I hadn't gotten my streaming app working yet. So I hear it was not great.
Ben, is that a fair characterization of the first goal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a ball over the top that Danny Rose got a foot onto and just played it right back to the other team. And then Harry Winks put, like, the limpest attempt at a challenge I've ever seen. And then, you know, he curled a nice shot from outside the box into the far corner. But, you know, it was just a sad breakdown, you know, all too reminiscent of similar breakdowns we've seen all year. And, you know, from Danny Rose in particular, from all year.
I did not love Harry Winks' performance at the weekend, but I thought it was an improvement. I was really unhappy with Harry Winks today. Like, I thought he was sloppy. I thought he was responsible for a lot of our early problems, and maybe that was just some of the weight put on him by Dyer, but, man, I just don't want to see him in the team anymore.
I think we know who he is at this point. Like, Dyer is in there because Winks is terrible defensively. And today, Mourinho had to put Eriksen into the midfield because Winks' passing is extremely limited. And normally, one of his good qualities is that he's fairly press resistant because he's a little bit quicker than you think and he can sort of turn out of trouble. And he just kept turning into fucking trouble today, into like triple teams for no good reason, and losing the ball and creating counterattacks and turnovers. And somebody had to just get in there and take the ball away from him. So
Olympiacos obliged.
Olympiacos obliged. And then Eriksen obliged and wouldn't let him have the ball anymore. So, you know, I'd say he's a candidate to like not play much anymore.
I'd like to think
we got a lot of midfielders.
Again, I think it's I don't know how you guys feel. I feel like it's probably a little early for us to judge like who Mourinho is going to use. Like obviously, I think it's like, you know, we use the same lineup twice in two games, but you know, I'd like to think Ndombele in particular is going to work his way in the lineup as soon as he's fit. But God, I just hope this isn't like his team, and it's just a matter of practicality. Maybe I'm being delusional, but
well, maybe. we can reassess when we sign Nemanja Matic in January.
Another thing about this game that was interesting as a little like mini story is Moussa Sissoko. You know, we heard Jose's comments the other day about Sissoko. You know, he was like, he's a fine player, but his skill set isn't really what I need. And we were like, well, good, at least he recognizes that Sissoko's not good. And then he featured today, and he played a, you know, kind of similar midfieldy right-back position that we've seen him do before, where he, you know, covered in behind Kieran Trippier in the past to let Trippier kind of off the leash a little bit and not have to defend as much and just sort of do the attacking stuff that he did well. And you know, he played in a similar kind of harness with Serge Aurier and let Aurier off the leash. And I know my metaphors just got really mixed there, talking about harnesses and leashes and what have you. But, you know, he was doing, like, good defending in, like, right-back areas and moving the ball pretty well and allowing Aurier to basically play as a winger for large stretches of the second half, where he did, you know, really, really well. He scored a great goal. He was putting in good crosses. You know, there's a moment where Sissoko had this like really saucy move, to play out of trouble deep in our half, and, you know, I don't want to believe in Musa Sissoko again, but it is interesting to see what Jose might do with him and how he uses him.
Victory cigar.
Yeah, but I think it was more than just a victory cigar. Like, I thought he actively made the team, you know, good.
Yeah, but from a position that plays to his strengths.
Right, but, like, great, that's good. I mean, like, it was 2-2 when he came on. We were already in the ascendancy, but, you know, Aurier scored the third go-ahead goal, you know, shortly after Sissoko freed him up to do that. I don't know. I have no idea still. You know, I think we have an idea of what a Jose team looks like based on him repeating his lineup, but, you know, the guys he has used in addition to that, it's been interesting. You know, the changes from Eriksen and Sissoko were both really positive substitutions, and, you know, I wonder how much rethinking he's going to do and what this team's going to look like by the end of the season.
Well, Brian was right. We got something fucking else to talk about, because we're not doing this, oh, well, didn't look good today. Who are we playing next week? Well, maybe we can get firing against them. We'll finally start to turn things around. What happens when Ndombele and Lo Celso are introduced to the team? Okay, well, that part stayed the same. But everything else, we're talking about different shit for once. So as podcasters, right, as content creators, I think we're very happy to see Mourinho in here, as much as we miss our soccer dad leaving us. It's just, God, at least, like you were saying, Ben, we're doing different shit all of a sudden, even though, and I think there's going to be a lot more different shit we're doing, because I think we're seeing this team very much with the training wheels on right now, or at least heavily based off of what Pochettino had been doing, even if it was in this sort of slightly distant past. And I think, you know, this is going to look more and more different as time goes on.
Yeah, he hasn't really done anything that Pochettino never tried before yet. And maybe right, he will, but, like, having Dyer drop back into the back line as a center back, or having one fullback play deeper and the other get forward, or these are all things that, like, Pochettino has tried at various times. So it will be interesting to see how Mourinho evolves this team and what its final form is, and what he does with Eric Lamella, human switchblade, whenever he comes back.
Oh, do you think he's going to use him? I feel like Eric Lamella is not going to be on this club next year, and that breaks my heart. But,
well, yeah, that might be true anyway. But yeah, if he's mean to Eric Lamella, then this whole, like, child of divorce metaphor that I've created is going to get really dark.
Well, the thing about this whole process is, I feel like we're all sort of trying to guess who's he going to exile, because that's what Mourinho does. He exiles players from the team that he doesn't like, and we're all just trying to predict who it's going to be.
And hoping that it's the player that we want to get rid of. Greg.
I don't know what you're talking about.
But yeah, it's small sample size. And West Ham, Olympiacos, Bournemouth is, like, not a bad runway to get this going.
I mean, I'm really going to be really interested in what this team looks like after our first international break with Mourinho. Partly because I want to see what he does when he's got a little bit of time to sort of, you know, have some time off, maybe implement something a little more complicated. And also, I'm wondering if we're going to start fucking lying to national teams and telling them how hurt our players are.
Yeah.
Like, Mourinho wants to, like, get me on side. If Mourinho wants me to be a believer and, like, really support him at Spurs, like, that's what he's got to do. To start, like, yeah, it's like, oh, no, Lo Celso hurt his ankle. He can't be on international team duty. What a shame.
Yeah, it starts with substitution in the first half, and it ends with, sorry, half the team has whooping cough. Guess they're going to have to stay at Spurs Lodge. That would be refreshing.
You absolutely hate to see it.
You do. You surely do. So what's next? What's next for Jose Mourinho?
Presumably Manchester City in a few years. I don't know. We play Bournemouth this weekend. I don't know how that's going to go. I would assume we're going to play better. I assume we're going to be more competitive than we've done in previous weeks. I thought one of the more interesting things about today's game against Olympiacos is not only do we look bad and we fixed it tactically, we look bad and didn't just fall the fuck apart, which is what we seem to have done at every opportunity this year, and give up. Even against bad teams. It felt like we definitely did that against Brighton and Watford. But this, you know, we two goals down early and we somehow hauled it back. And I know Olympiacos is no great shakes and we should be beating them. But, yeah, I don't know. It was encouraging on some level to see that. So, yeah, I have hope that when we go down to Bournemouth, we can claw it back. Do you think, Ben, do you think we're going to see the newly resurgent Davinson Sanchez in the team?
I mean, I don't know what's going on with Jan Vertonghen, and I kind of suspect that he is set for some time at left back when he does return, because if Davis is out for any stretch of time, we're going to need some rotation back there, and Danny Rose has been awful. You know, and Jose does like a, you know, what, one adventurous fullback paired with one conservative fullback, and, you know, we know Vertonghen loves to get forward and score goals, but, you know, as a center back playing slightly out of position, it seems like he is well set to play that role, and let Davinson keep his spot at the heart of defense, where, you know, in a lower block he has been much better. So yeah, I think we'll stick with it.
It seems like he plays a lot better in defense when he's more protected, in some form or fashion.
I think he has a hard time in the open field. He gets turned very easily. Balls over the top seem to confuse and disorient him. But as long as he's defending the play in front of him, he is a really good technical defender. Like, there was a moment today where he got turned very, very badly, but was quick enough to catch back up to the play. And once he did and kind of squared up to the attacker in the box, he put in a phenomenal tackle to deny a really good chance. And, you know, as long as Davinson can kind of sit deep and defend stuff coming directly at him, you know, I think there is a role for him in this team. He's still not my favorite defender we've ever had, and I don't think he's incredibly limited and sucks in a lot of ways, but, you know, there is a system that can make him work. He does have a lot of skills, and this might be it.
So, while we're talking about defenders, Rob, how do you feel about Toby sticking around? We touched on this earlier, but I don't think we really talked about it. Toby just talked about wanting a new contract, which I guess sort of eliminates some doubt as to who some of the people really unhappy with Pochettino were. How do you feel about Toby sticking around?
I mean, considering the contract offers we've given him, it'd be kind of amazing that we'd give him the amount of money that he wants. But given the center back situation with him and Vertonghen's deals being up and Sanchez maybe not quite making some of the strides we thought he would, and the other options at center back being Eric Dier and Juan Foyth, like, yeah, I mean, it's probably okay if you keep him around a little bit longer and then don't have to replace both of your starting center backs in the next 2 years. Sure, that's fine. You know, it's like Ben was saying earlier, if he decides like he wants to be part of this and he's going to recommit himself, that's great. He's a really good player, and I don't think he's washed yet. Whereas Vertonghen maybe has lost enough pace that this is pretty much it for him. You know, again, it ain't my money, and until we feel like we really have replacements ready, you know, we still have a lot of use for him.
Yeah, the other good thing about it, you know, a lower block defense is you suddenly add a lot more miles into the legs of your center backs. You know, they're not required to be as quick and mobile as, you know, they were under Jose Mourinho. God damn it, why can I not remember our manager's names? Under most Mauricio Pochettino system. But, you know, we've seen Jose, you know, play John Terry until he was like 48 years old. You know, because he's a good technical defender who can defend the ball in front of him. So a guy like Toby, you know, even though he's getting into his 30s, you know, he could go till he's 35, probably no problem, in a system that requires a lot less movement and chasing, and stuff like that from a center back. So, you know, if Jose's going to be here for a minute, it could definitely be beneficial to Toby's long-term future.
Yeah, I mean, you always want to be careful about players that old who you take a bet on. He feels like somebody, especially if you can manage the contract a little bit, that is worth taking a chance on. But I don't know. I don't trust our luck these days. So, well, that's one less thing we got to go figure out in the transfer window. So that is actually a big help.
Yeah, Mourinho's ability to make pretty mediocre players into good defenders could actually save us a lot in terms of the number of new guys we need to get in. Like, if he can make Juan Foyth into a fullback, or
well, let's see if he plays Juan Foyth period full stop first, and then we can figure out where he'll put him.
See if he's figured out who Juan Foyth is yet. He's not one of the ball boys, Jose.
He probably thinks he's one of Mauricio's
kids. I'm sure Danny Rose will Google him for you.
So, just overall impressions as we wrap it up. We're a week into the Jose Mourinho era at Spurs. How are you feeling about it, Ben?
You know, I'm a lot more on board than I expected to be a week ago. I think I was, in our last podcast, I think a lot more critical than certainly Brian was, of the appointment. But, you know, two wins in a row, I can't remember the last time that happened.
You're not wrong.
You know, if we could rattle off a third this weekend, you know, that's great. And, you know, I hope it gets better, and I hope it doesn't all end in tears, even though...
I mean, it's going to end in tears. It's just a matter of when it ends in tears.
That's a problem for future Wheeler Dealer Radio. Yes. Today's Wheeler Dealer Radio can just be excited that we're winning games again.
Absolutely. And it would just be nice to... I don't know. It's been kind of nice to look forward to Spurs games again. I'm not going to lie. It's become a bit of a slog. Like, you know, I'm watching them, and it is what it is, but... You know, it's not as exciting as it used to be. Like, I mean, it was getting to be kind of hard to watch Tottenham. And if nothing else, they're interesting again.
Yeah, you knew what you were going to get most games this year. So at least it's something unexpected could happen.
Like a win.
Like a win. Playing well.
Yeah, I'm here for that.
So, Rob, are you just going to be... What's your opinion on the Mourinho era? Are you still acting out?
Thanks. I hate it. Yeah. No, I'm not ready to commit to this yet.
It's so... We talked about this a little bit in the pre-show. It's so weird that, like... It was getting really bad under Pochettino. I don't think... I mean, we talked about this on the podcast right before we fired Pochettino. I don't think it was sustainable for much longer without some sort of improvement. I mean, clearly it wasn't, but it hadn't gotten to the point where the fans had really turned on him. And I think it was always going to be like, he wasn't acting out towards the fans or the team. And, you know, it was never, it didn't bottom out with Pochettino. So there's this level of nostalgia. There's even a sense of like, sort of, there's a bit, there was a lot last week. It's, you know, you saw it with that flag today. People were posting pictures of the Pochettino flag up. And it's like, especially when we went down 2-0, it's like, there's a sense of like, how dare we fired him amongst a lot of Spurs fans. Like, and
Greg, there's still people who are AVB nostalgic.
Yeah, I get that. But my point is, it's like, I understand Mourinho being hired as the replacement, like, amplifies a lot of these emotions because it's Mourinho. But it's interesting to me that I feel like Spurs fans had not fully grappled with like how bad it had gotten under Pochettino. And I think I understand the nostalgia, but at the same time, I think it's interesting to sort of watch unfold. And I know so much of this has to do with the fact that we hired Mourinho as their replacement. And I think if we'd gotten like an Allegri or just someone who wasn't someone we've spent 10 years hating, this would all look a lot different. I don't know if we'd be excited about that person, but you know, they wouldn't be held up as someone in opposition to Pochettino, if that makes any sense.
I mean, anybody who has to fill, you know, for Pochettino's shoes is going to be held up in opposition to Pochettino. And I think it's
I don't think it would be like this.
I think it would be. I mean, like, yes, there's not, like, the residual bad feelings, but, like, people were fucking furious when he got sacked, even before Jose Mourinho's
name became the obvious favorite.
And I think it's uncharitable to call it nostalgia for, like, a thing that happened a few months ago. Like, it's not nostalgia. It's like, this is a thing we are actively experiencing until a week ago was still the best era of Tottenham Hotspur in 50, 60 years. You know, like, to call that nostalgia, I think, is doing a real uncharitable look at, you know, the feelings that a lot of Spurs fans have about the state of this club and the levels that Pochettino have taken us to, again, very, very recently. The Champions League final wasn't May.
No, was I get that.
6 months ago.
I feel like there is also, like, we'd all, and I think we're just as guilty of as anyone else. I don't want to, like, absolve us here. Certainly not myself. I don't think, at the same time, a lot of Spurs fans had not grappled with how bad it had gotten. Or seemingly had gotten. Like, because it had gotten very bad.
Yeah.
Yo, the Champions League final covered a lot of that up.
I'm not even talking about last year. I'm talking about now. Like if
I think every Spurs fan knew that this has been a shitty season. I don't think anybody was blind.
I think they knew it was a shitty season. I feel like we had not, because it was so, it felt so abnormal, because last year when it sort of fell off in the league, we had the Champions League to hang on to. Like, a lot of us hadn't quite grappled with it, like, last year. I certainly hadn't. I made tons of excuses, which at the time I think were perfectly valid excuses. I made tons of excuses, and, like, it's just, you know, I don't know. We weren't ready for this to happen yet. And I feel like give it a month and we probably would have been. But it's just, the emotions are very interesting because we weren't ready for it to happen. And I think Mourinho just sort of blows a lot of those emotions out, because we probably weren't ready for any new manager, like you said, Ben. We definitely weren't ready. We probably never would be ready for Jose Mourinho.
No, but I mean, I do think there's a big segment of Spurs fandom who are maybe less eternally online than some of us, who just see Jose Mourinho as, you know, a proven winner with a long, long, long resume of success, and we're happy from Jump Street that this is the guy we got, that, you know, the knock on Pochettino has been he's not winning games, and, you know, we brought in a winner, and now we're going to win trophies. Like, there's definitely that segment of the fandom that exists.
I think that's smaller than you might think, just because I think every segment of Spurs fandom had gotten real comfortable with hating Jose Mourinho. And Jose Mourinho wasn't, like we were talked about, he'd come off 1.5, 2 failures. Like, he had not been coming off a successful stint at United. It ended in tears at Chelsea. I mean, it's just, like I said, I feel like Mourinho just sort of exacerbates a lot of emotions we were already having.
He does. He certainly does. But, you know, I think you can feel whatever you feel about Pochettino and still rightly feel... Sorry, did I say Pochettino again?
Yes.
God.
Well, they're so similar, Ben. It's like tomato, tomato.
I mean, I just can't do this anymore.
Old dad and new dad. Come on, Ben.
I know. All right. You can feel however you felt about dad and still feel the way you feel about dad. You know, they're both our dads.
So does this make, like, AVB our mom's creepy boyfriend?
Does it have to?
I mean, does it? Like, I'm trying to figure out, or is that Tim Sherwood?
Before she settled down with a good, stable guy,
and ended up cheating on her out of the blue. So what is Sherwood in this scenario? Is he, like, in this metaphor, is he like, the weird, gross one-night stand?
He's like that week in Atlantic City.
Yeah, that she didn't get out of the house quick enough?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, if we were on Patreon, this would be a whole other podcast. This would be on a pay level. Like,
Tim Sherwood was ABB's cuck fetish that got out of hand, and once ABB was gone, you know, the thrill of cucking him with Tim Sherwood kind of faded, and you know, then he found himself in a relationship with this guy who was just supposed to be like.
Like, what's a delay even there for? Like, what's he doing with it? Why is he letting other men? Why is he letting random men sit in his chair? Like, what's going on here? Why is he on the phone?
Why is all of his stuff in the front yard?
Is he sleeping in his car? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's just got to be too much.
Okay, yeah, I think too much is the right word for this conversation. So let's wrap it up. Ben, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Comrade Uspurs.
Robert, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me tweeting about new Mets hitting coach Hensley Bam Bam Mullins at Reno All About.
See, the great thing is most of our British listeners won't know if that person is real, and neither do I.
Yankees, great.
Oh, my God. And you can find me tweeting about Lamar Jackson on Twitter at skipjack0079.
Hopefully just skipjack soon.
Oh, yeah, Twitter. We're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. For Ben, for Rob, and, of course, for Brett Rainbow, I am your host, Greg. For once, come on, you Spurs. It's not as much of a plea as it has been, but it worked. Like, please come on, you Spurs. Do it. Right again this week? Yay. All right. Come on, you Spurs.